Alrighty, welcome to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by Benjamin Rosenberg from the Commercial Dispatch. Benjamin, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Benjamin does the Dispatch's Mississippi State coverage. You can find him on Twitter at BX Rosenberg, as well as both cdispatch.com and also djournal.com too. And thanks Benjamin for joining me.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking a little bit about Mississippi State softball. Benjamin, softball seems like a big thing for you.
Yeah, it's sort of been my niche for a while. I've always been a huge baseball fan, but really only discovered college softball when I was assigned that beat my freshman year at Northwestern. That would have been back in 2018. And Northwestern, I mean, they've been a real solid program ever since the 80s. They had some World Series teams then. They had some World Series teams in the mid-2000s. They were coming off one of the worst years that they'd had before I joined the beat and came there. So it was not a real coveted beat, I guess, at that time. But I was very fortunate to sort of observe the ascent of that program back into sort of the national conversation again. Got to cover a regional my sophomore year. Then, you know, the next couple of years were not traditionally structured because they were impacted by COVID. But then after I left, it's been great to continue to follow that program. They went to the World Series in 2022 and came darn close to making it back last year. But then, yeah, just covering it at Northwestern has led to freelance opportunities with Softball America and a newsletter that I did one year. I've done some bracketology the last few years. I've just posted that on Twitter. I'm planning to start that this year, this week. So look out for that hopefully tomorrow. And it's a really cool sport. I think it's faster paced compared to college baseball. The dugouts are always lively and bringing the energy, and the crowds are usually good and attentive, and everyone's there for a reason. They're paying attention to what's going on. It's not like you're just wandering in there for something casual. So it's really cool, and I've been lucky to sort of have discovered it, and now I'm a huge fan of the game.
Yeah, I had somewhat of a similar experience at Florida because my sophomore year I was covering the Gators softball team, and so we had Kelly Barnhill and Amanda Lorenz, and just kind of an interesting team. And it was always an interesting afternoon at the ballpark or evening, whatever it may be. And really there were few things as satisfying as, finishing up for the night, just because it's a faster, shorter game. And then, seeing in the group chat, the baseball guys going, yeah, we're still in like the top of the seventh.
Yeah, exactly. It's faster. I mean, you don't have, like, the runners can't take leads, so you don't have a bunch of pickoff throws. Every play at first is bang bang because obviously it's a shorter distance between the bases, but also the runners never take, or they're never slowing down. They're never just jogging it out. They're running hard every single time. So I think that adds a little bit more excitement too. And yeah, Florida, they've got a great facility, and they've obviously had great teams over the years. Covering Tim Walton must have been interesting.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. But anyway, you mentioned earlier and on Twitter today that you're kind of putting together or trying to put together, some kind of bracketology stuff. If you want to spill the beans, where roughly would you peg Mississippi State right now?
So they just took 2 out of 3 at South Carolina, and they are up to number 17 in the RPI as of this morning. And that's, it's certainly not an end-all be-all, but it's one of the metrics that the selection committee definitely, places a heavy emphasis on because of how important strength of schedule is to that particular particular metric, I guess I'll say. And obviously, when you're talking 17, that territory, then that's right on the bubble in terms of being in that top 16 national seed and being able to host a regional. I don't think Mississippi State has actually ever done that before. They sort of lucked their way into hosting a super regional a couple years ago when they upset Florida State in the regional, and then Arizona, the corresponding national seed, also lost at home. Missouri lost to Arizona. But They've actually never been a top 16 national seed in the history of their program. And last year, they were the only SEC team that didn't even make it to the NCAA tournament. So we're talking the fact that they're even in the hosting conversation. That's remarkable progress from Samantha Ricketts and her team.
Yeah, I know this is your first year here, but to you, like, what has been the big reason why they've been able to go from, struggling a bit last year to being a top, what, 20 program this year?
Yeah, I mean the offense certainly has made the biggest leap. They were at or near the bottom of the SEC last year in categories like batting average and on base percentage, and they're among the top 10, top 20 in the country in a lot of offensive categories now. And that has stemmed from both additions they've made, freshmen and transfers, as well as internal improvements from players that were already on the roster. So you add in a prototypical leadoff hitter slapper like Sierra Sacco, who transferred from Louisiana Tech. She's got an excellent sense of the strike zone, takes a lot of walks. Obviously, we'll slap her way into a bunch of hits, and then she's got a ton of speed, so she's a threat to steal, and she'll go first to third on a single, score from first on a double, almost automatic in doing that. You had another transfer, Jessie Blaine, coming over from Auburn, has had a much better year than she did last year when she was with the Tigers. And then the three freshmen that hit toward the lineup, toward the bottom of the lineup, usually in a row, that's Ella Wesolowski, Kylie Edwards, and Saylen Hawkins. Wesolowski has really stepped in behind the plate. She's caught the majority of the games. Samantha Ricketts even compared her to Mia Davidson a week or two ago, which is, high praise to compare her to pretty much unquestionably the best player in program history, the SEC's all-time leader in home runs. And then Edwards and Hawkins are the double play combination there up the middle. And that's not even mentioning, of course, Madison Kennedy, who played mostly shortstop before, sort of shifted over to first base because of the emergence of Edwards. And that's, I guess, kind of allowed her to just become among the best hitters in the SEC and really all of college softball. She had a phenomenal month of March, hit, I believe, 10 home runs, 34 RBIs in the month, and has hit a couple home runs already so far in April. So it's a really good lineup that offers no breaks to opposing pitchers.
Yeah, I was gonna say that to me the big one was Madison Kennedy, who's your SEC leader in home runs. The stat that I thought was interesting is that she has more home runs than strikeouts this year.
I didn't realize that necessarily, but yeah, that's pretty crazy. She's, and a lot of that is teams don't want to pitch to her. She's been walked intentionally a few times this past weekend, and usually teams sometimes just work around her. She has shown a tendency to sometimes chase pitches outside of the strike zone, being a little overeager because she's not getting a ton of pitches to hit. But yeah, no, more home runs and strikeouts. I'm not sure how many hitters in the country can say that.
Yeah, I know, kind of had your hands full this weekend with baseball stuff too, but what did you think of the series win over USC here?
Wasn't able to watch a lot of it, but yeah, the pitching was obviously what stood out. South Carolina is a team that they're led by their pitching. They've got Elena Vaughter, a high profile transfer who they brought in from Stanford. They don't have one of the stronger offenses really in the SEC, but Josie Maren and Aspen Wesley each drawing a shutout on Friday and Saturday, those first two games. That was really big to see because they've led the pitching staff all year, and obviously they've got a new pitching coach there and a big name, Terren McKinney, won a couple national championships as a player at Arizona and was just the pitching coach for many years at her alma mater, which is one of the blue blood programs in the sport and has been for a long time. So she's done really good work with the whole pitching staff. Wesley and Marin, Wesley's a fifth year senior and Josie Marin's only a sophomore. Those two have kind of emerged as co-aces on this staff, and so they each open the weekend with a complete game shutout there. So definitely the key to the series win.
Yeah, so just I mean like overall, right now they're 28-10, 8-7 in conference play. Kind of like what do you just I think I'm asking like what do you think your insights are from SEC play so far?
Yeah, I mean that was the big question. They got off to a really good start in the non-conference play. They beat teams like Clemson and Utah and UCF and Notre Dame, some teams that are in the tournament every year, almost every year. But the big question is, would it carry over? Would they be able to keep this up against the SEC? And sort of by its standards, the last couple of years, the SEC was a little bit down. That is certainly not the case this year. They're almost certain to get all 13 teams in the NCAA tournament. I guess Ole Miss is really the only one that could collapse and fall off that line. But yeah, the conference is as strong as ever, as deep as ever. Well, at least until Oklahoma and Texas come in next year, then it's going to be even better. But yeah, they've especially played well on the road. That's what's really impressed me. They won a series at Ole Miss. They won two out of three at Arkansas, which is a big deal, and now two out of three at South Carolina. A lot of that is the teams they've played at home. The teams they're playing at home are really up there. Texas A&M's having a real good year. Had a great home series against Florida last weekend. Lost two out of three in that one. They host Tennessee this weekend, which is still the favorite to win the conference, and they host Georgia at the end of the year. So that's a heck of a home slate. But the way they've played on the road has really been impressive. They've won games in a lot of different ways. That third game against Arkansas was, a slugfest. They pulled away with a big fourth inning. It was something like 15-7. And they had the big comeback at home against Florida in the first game, where they scored seven runs in the bottom of the sixth to win that one by one. So they can win a slugfest, and as they showed this weekend, they can win, the tighter, low-scoring pitchers' duels as well.
Yeah, I mean, kind of looking at the stats, State is kind of an interesting team when it comes to how they stack up with the rest of the SEC, because overall right now they are, like second in batting average right now. But I mean, their ERA is also like the third worst in the SEC, which sounds bad. But I mean, I'm still in my like baseball brain where I look at State's like staff-wide ERA of 2.93, and I'm like, that's pretty darn good. But softball and all that.
Yeah, I mean it's not quite as good as it sounds, because it's per seven rather than per nine. But that's still, I mean, 2.93 is certainly nothing to sneeze at. And it's they've got a deep staff. They can pitch by committee if they need to. Obviously, Maron and Wesley are sort of the 1A and 1B that they've got there. But they're confident in Matalasi Faapito, another veteran who can fill in some innings, especially in the midweeks. Alexi Sosa, who transferred over from UCLA. Great program there in Los Angeles. She didn't play much for the Bruins, didn't play at all last year, but she's looked good in the work that she's gotten in. And Delaney Everett, who's a freshman, the only lefty that they've got on the pitching staff, she's certainly shown some potential going forward as well. So I think the reason it doesn't look good compared to most of their SEC peers is just because of that says more about those other teams than it does about State. It's just how many good pitchers there are in this conference. And a lot of those teams maybe didn't play the strongest non-conference schedules. They were able to beef up some of those numbers early on.
Yeah, that was sort of one of the things that I learned when I was in college covering softball was the SEC is both really, really good at the top and also just really deep. Like, it is a difficult conference to play softball in, and I can't imagine how difficult it's going to be once Texas and Oklahoma get in.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Oklahoma fans especially are starting to realize that. They just lost two out of three in Austin against Texas this past weekend. I believe it's the first series they've lost in Big 12 play in, oh gosh, at least a decade or so, I think is what I saw. I'm not sure the exact number. But I think their fans are realizing, hey, we're going to the SEC next year. This is what it's going to be like every week for us, and we're not going to go undefeated every year. We're not going to win every series for 5, 10 years. So, I mean, in most sports, you're right. It's how will Oklahoma and Texas, adjust to being in the SEC? In softball, it is more so how will the SEC adjust to dealing with Oklahoma? They are still like they've got to still be the national title favorite even after dropping two in a row. But yeah, you think the conference is tough now, just wait a year.
Yeah, and State got a little bit of a taste of that with one game against Oklahoma earlier in the year too.
Yeah, they did. And obviously there are lots of connections there. Samantha Ricketts was an excellent player at Oklahoma, and her sister Kehlani Ricketts was a huge star for the Sooners, one of the faces of their 2013 national championship team. So She obviously knows Patty Gasso very well, and in fact got the Sooners to come to Starkville for a couple games last season. This year they played out of the Mary Nutter, one of the big non-conference tournaments out in California, and State did take the lead early on in that game before Oklahoma's offense just sort of kept the pressure on, and they won that game pretty handily in the end.
Yeah, and then sort of another stat I wanted to throw out there was that State has seven hitters above 300 right now, batting average wise, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to what I was talking about earlier with how deep the lineup is and how they don't give opposing pitchers any breaks. And that was not the case, certainly at all, last season when they were 7-16 in conference play. They've got three series to go. They already have more conference wins this year than they did all of last year. They only had two regulars finish above 300 batting average last season. And that was Paige Cook, who's coming off an injury now, but has still been pretty productive. And the other one is actually Aquana Brownlee, who has sort of seen her role diminish quite a bit this year. She was kind of the odd one out when Kylie Edwards emerged as an excellent defender and a strong hitter at shortstop, and that pushed Madison Kennedy over to first base, and you can't take her bat out of the lineup. So Brownlee was kind of sort of the odd one out over there, but she did get a start at DP this weekend, and in the midweek last week when they went out to UAB, and they were ahead by a bunch of runs in that game, so they were able to empty the bench, and she pinch hit and actually hit her first home run of the season in that game. But yeah, I mean, whether it's Jessie Blaine, Ella Wasileski, Nadia Barbary is a name I haven't even mentioned, but she's been hitting second in the lineup, playing third base. She sort of holds that together between Sierra Sacco at the top and then names like Kennedy and Cook in the middle. It's kind of pick your poison for opposing pitchers. I mean, you walk Madison Kennedy like South Carolina did in the game on Friday night, and then Cook and Blaine hit back-to-back RBI singles. So they can definitely make you pay if you choose not to let a certain player beat you.
I think also what makes this really impressive, though, is that, it seems like they've continued to hit pretty well in conference play. I mean, you've got Madison Kennedy obviously hitting, 410. She's got eight home runs, and she's also drawn 16 walks. But I mean, you've also, like you mentioned, you got Wasilowski in there, Ceylon Hawkins, Nadia Barbary, Sierra Sacco. Like all these players are still hitting above 300. So it's not just at the top, and it's not just, oh, they were feasting on, teams in non-con. Like they're hitting well against SEC pitchers too.
Yeah, still hitting just a shade under 300, 297 as a team in conference play. And Kennedy, I mean, she's gotten better since SEC play started. Yeah, 410 in conference, eight home runs she's driven in 25, which is, the majority of those power numbers. So yeah, I think just with how many new faces there were on this roster, obviously they dominated a lot of weaker teams at home in the first couple of tournaments that they hosted. But yeah, I think they were sort of almost just warming up and getting a feel for what it was like to play together. And since conference play has started, they haven't taken their foot off the gas at all. And it's really hard. There's just so much parity right now in this league and really across the sport. They're 8-7 in the league. They haven't swept anybody, and they haven't been swept either. They weren't able to complete the sweep on the road at Ole Miss the first weekend of the season. That was a crazy Sunday game. Weren't able to complete the sweep yesterday at South Carolina, but they took the final game against a really good pitcher in Emily Kennedy for Texas A&M. Back and forth series with Florida, back and forth series with Arkansas. It's crazy to think. I mean, they haven't played their they haven't had their SEC bye week yet because there's an odd number. Vanderbilt doesn't have a team, so there's only 13. They haven't had their conference bye week yet, so they've already played five out of the eight SEC series. They're going to play Tennessee at home this weekend, and then they have their bye week after that. So it's cr I mean, it just feels like the season's flying by. We've only got about a month until we're getting into the postseason.
Yeah, and then, State has a big weekend coming up here, with Tennessee rolling into town, for All for Alex weekend. We talked a lot about the strength of State's lineup, but Tennessee, one of the top teams in the country. They've got a 1.29 ERA on the season. So that should be a very interesting test. I just wanted your thoughts on this weekend here.
I mean, that's the matchup to watch. It'll be Tennessee's pitching, particularly Carlin Pickens, who, as only a sophomore, I mean, she's sporting that 0.81 ERA in 112 innings. She was very good as a freshman last year, sort of backing up Ashley Rogers, who has since moved on and run out of eligibility. But, I mean, you're talking about 6'1" with tons of power coming out. She's maybe the hardest thrower in all of college softball. We got to see a bit of her the Women's College World Series last year. And they've got Peyton Gottschall, who'd be a number one on most staff. She became a mid-major legend her first couple of years at, I believe it was Bowling Green, is where she was originally. And she's come to Tennessee. And if anything, she's only gotten better since she's been in the SEC. Yeah, had her first 3 years at Bowling Green, now in her second year at Tennessee. And yeah, they just took 2 out of 3 in a big series at home over the weekend against Georgia. Obviously, Kiki Malloy, their best player and a candidate for National Player of the Year, she's been injured. She didn't even play in that series. So don't know if she's going to be healthy. But even if she's not, Tennessee has got tons of bats, of course, who can still beat you. So, you know, that's a deep lineup that Aspen Wesley and Josie Maron and whoever else Samantha Ricketts sends out there to circle is going to have to contend with.
Yeah. How much are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, it'll be exciting. It's going to be a big one. Should be good crowds over there at News Park. They had great crowds when they hosted Florida. And it'll be the biggest thing going on in town, too, because baseball is on the road again this weekend. They're heading up to Oxford. My plan is to be here to cover the Friday and Saturday games for softball and then head up to Oxford for the baseball game on Sunday. So do a little bit of both. But should be a fun atmosphere there at the softball diamond.
I was going to say, sounds like you've got your hands full this week.
Yeah, I'll be busy. They both have midweek games at home too, with at least if the weather holds up. Baseball having UAB tomorrow, and then softball actually that game against South Alabama is going to be an interesting test too, because South Alabama, they're up there in the 30s in the RPI. Let's see where they're at now. They're number 35 in the RPI, so that's good. That's a good spot to be in to make the tournament as an at-large team out of the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt, you know, they might end up getting three teams in with Texas State and, of course, the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. But they've got an excellent pitcher in Olivia Lackey, who's beaten a number of SEC teams over her career, has a couple wins against Alabama, has beaten South Carolina and Arkansas as well this season. So if she ends up pitching that game on Wednesday night, then State could be in for a really tough one.
Yeah, and let me ask you, as somebody who is, new to the area this season, kind of what's your experience been like being around Mississippi State softball this year?
It's a fun group. I think, yeah, Coach Ricketts, she's always been generous with her time and has been, you know, I've found her to be a pretty good quote. And the players, they always have fun. And they, you know, they've been... Yeah, they've been good at the media stuff coming in there, and a lot of them, you know, they've got a real nice new indoor facility with the team room where they have the press conferences. It's pretty fancy, and the players have been like, you know, it's new to them too. So yeah, it's a good group to be around. They have fun in the dugout. They're into the props, like plastic swords and stuff. They've got a little thing called the bench mob going, which is taken from the Mississippi State baseball team back in 2013 that ended up going to the national championship series. So just a way for the reserve players to still be active and support their teammates, even when they're not getting out there on the field.
Yeah, and you know, I saw that you also took a trip to Auburn. I think you had a basketball game, but you also went to an Auburn Northwestern softball game. So, you know, just as somebody who's been around a few different programs, you know, just how has the experience been of, you know, just going to softball games here in Starkville?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see some different venues. I went up to one of the games at Ole Miss, went over to UAB last week. I'll do a few more, hopefully, of the road trips that are in range that I can drive to without having to stay overnight. Yeah, the Auburn trip, it just worked out really conveniently that both Mississippi State basketball teams were playing there the same weekend as Northwestern was playing a softball tournament there. So definitely, felt like I had to fit that one in. But yeah, certainly the SEC as a league, they've invested in softball, and it shows in the venues, it shows in the media coverage. ESPN, the SEC Network have done a really good job, putting it on TV, and they've got some real good talent to call those games, and in the studio as well. We'll see more of that when we get closer to the postseason. I think a lot of other leagues can learn something from that. They don't invest in it quite as much. They were kind of late to the party. It was really a West Coast sport up until even the 90s, a few teams from the East and North. But after the Atlanta Olympics, that's kind of when everything changed, and the SEC kind of realized, hey, we really could have something here. And they invested in the facilities and personnel, and it's really showed. I mean, they get everybody or almost everybody in the tournament every year. It's kind of surprising that Alabama and Florida are the only two programs that have actually won a national championship in the SEC. But certainly Tennessee has been there. Auburn's been in the championship series. Texas A&M has won a couple of championships. That was before they joined the SEC. Arkansas has been really good recently. So, I mean, certainly tough sledding for the Mississippi schools, but State is right in the mix this year.
Yeah, and then, just what do you think the rest of the season holds for Mississippi State softball here?
I mean, the schedule is not going to get any easier. They've got the big series at home this weekend against Tennessee. They're at Missouri, who's having a nice year. And then they host Georgia at the end. So if they can finish right around 500, and then win a game in the SEC tournament, I don't know if that'll be enough to host. I think they've got to maybe exceed that a little bit. But they will be if they don't host, they'll be a real dangerous two seed in somebody's regional. I don't think any teams are going to be looking forward to playing them. I don't know who that might be. I know it was Florida State a couple of years ago when they went and pulled the upset there. That's kind of the only plausible host that's within that 400-mile radius that the NCAA likes to use. Other than that, maybe they'll get shipped west and have to fly out somewhere and play a Pac-12 team. We'll just have to see. But I don't think a lot of teams are going to be excited to see them see their name pop up in the bracket next to Mississippi State.
Gotcha. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
I think we pretty much covered it. I appreciate the time, and thanks for having me on here. It's a fun team, and it's always great to talk softball.
Yeah, no problem. Once again, you can find Benjamin on Twitter at BX Rosenberg. You can find me on Twitter at BFarrell727. And if you want more of our Ole Miss or Mississippi State coverage, please feel free to check out our lineup of newsletters at djournal.com/newsletters. And if you would like to join the conversation with other fans, check out our Mississippi State sports discussion and Ole Miss sports discussion groups on Facebook. Once again, Benjamin, thanks for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a good one.